Okay. Good. I guess it qualifies as evening, everyone. It's 5:03. I'm going to call it evening. Maybe it's 6. I don't care. My name, if you don't know, I think I might know. I know almost everyone here. My name is Mickey Mullen. I'm going to be talking today about events and how to attract doers with them. What's a doer? A doer is someone who does things. I realize that's kind of a circular reference, but what we want to talk about are people who are engaged and energetic and passionate about contributing to things. And for our purposes, that's contributing to increasing liberty in our lifetime. That's our like, we have basically two functions as the Free State Project. One is to get people here, and two is to improve the course of liberty in New Hampshire. So what I and New Hampshire, like, I was on a panel earlier in the week about prepping, and there were several different topics that came up, but one that came up over and over and over in every area, whether it was homesteading or guns or currency, community came up over and over and over. So what LA is to movies, or New York is to advertising, New Hampshire is to libertarianism. Like, when we come here, we don't get just the benefit of more votes, although a lot of libertarians don't vote, so more people who want liberty. We get people who actually have good ideas or ideas that we agree with. Like, we don't agree on everything, but we have the same baseline. We agree in, like, non-aggression and private property and self-ownership, and those form the basis of all the beginning of our conversation. So when we talk about the minutiae, we're at least starting from a good point. When we get together, though, we start inspiring each other. We start piggybacking on ideas, or having my idea that's kind of shit, and someone else elevates it with what they have, and vice versa. So, when you are going to create a big event or small event, one of the things that's going to make it better is to involve doers, people who are already active and passionate and doing things. They are going to inspire other people who are that same type to want to be around them. So when you put on an event that's done by people who do things, people who attend the event are going to want to be around those people. It's a loop of inspiration and support. One of the other interesting things that can come up as a result of that is you can attract people who don't even realize they are doers. There are a lot of different ways that we can expand liberty. I think depending upon what your own background is, you might have your own idea of the one true way or the best way or whatever that is. For me, I am a political animal. I think that passing laws or repealing laws that put people in cages is the best way that I can contribute to liberty, whether it's running for office myself or supporting people who do. But that's not the only thing that we need to do. We also need to have people who are doing civil disobedience and protesting the things that are wrong to raise awareness. People who are working in education to make sure that our children are learning things that are not indoctrinating them into believing the state is the one true source of everything. We need people who are building alternatives to the state. We have agorists who think that we just should ignore the state and, like a fly, it'll eventually go away. And all of these working together create the best system. I call it the Liberty Pitchfork, and each of those is a tine. And the more tines you have, the more you can stab. And we have our torches, because that's, libertarian has the torch on it, and pitchforks, and we go at the state with those. So if you have people who come to an event for one thing, and they find that there are other ways that they contribute, you may get other people. One example of that, my wife and a group of five other women noticed that there was a need for women-oriented events for women. You can look around the room. The separation between the genders in this room is pretty typical of libertarian events. We got a lot of dudes. That's okay. Nothing wrong with dudes. But dudes are dudes, and women are not dudes. So they created they started out with this one event. It was like one evening for women of the Free State. And the response was amazing. They got I can't remember now, but it was like 70 women who responded to this evening of just activities and conversations and stuff. And they took this one room in the Quill, and they put up tapestries and blankets to make the pretty stark concrete walls look pretty. And it was a rousing success, and built an organization of women who do things to support each other. I'm pretty comfortable in the company of women, meaning I'm not even going to go any further than that. It doesn't matter. But things that I wouldn't think of, like creating movie nights that are solely for women, or things that are not solely for women but are women-centric, and guys are just not as likely to attend, but women love it. Things like brunches, craft nights, homeschooling co-ops, play dates for moms who have kids together. I said that strangely. Which has an additional benefit of libertarian children playing together. So you have kids that are growing up with other kids whose parents share the same ideals. But all of this created new opportunities to increase the bonds of the community, which is going to, as I said, with the children, increase the success likelihood of the future generation. So all this came from one night where they saw a need and they fulfilled it, which brings me to one of the things: organize events that you would want to attend. So one of the cool things here is my buddy of 25 years is attending this Pork Fest this time. He and I are both from the People's Republic of New Germany. That's, you know, in between New York and Pennsylvania. And we for decades would complain and commiserate about how these great ideas of individual liberty and freedom were just being quashed by all the stuff that happens in government. And for two decades, we talked over scotch and nothing really came of it, except we felt a little better because at least there's another light in the darkness. Of course, it was Islay Scotch. I like Lafraig. He likes Lagavulin, so, you know, we compromise. Thanks. So in 5 days, he's been here since Sunday. I think that's 5 days. He has had his mind elevated and inspired. He's now looking further into cryptocurrencies, goldbacks, different ways. Like, he has been supercharged from 1 week. 25 years of libertarian, and he was a libertarian before I knew him, and then 1 week has increased how much he has done already. So it has been a joy to watch him. I want to say blossom, but it's fantastic. I love it. What I want to sum up with. As far as getting to the first part of this conversation, then I wanted to start involving you with the conversation, is four things that I think you can bring together to attract doers. First off, recruit good volunteers. Get people who are going to do good things for your event. I ran Liberty Forum this last March, and it was very stressful going into it for me, because that was my first major event, but it went very smoothly because the people who were helping me who were doing it, really. I shouldn't even phrase it like that. Who were putting it on made everything go well, made everything really, really, really good. And then each of them just like was competent. From speaker coordination to a volunteer coordination, the logistics of the event, like every step of the way that we had a person in place who just made it work. The second thing, how do you find those volunteers? Attend meetups. In the Free State, like when you're in New Hampshire, there is something happening every day. Literally every day. You could, if you wanted to, and I tried to do this when I first moved here. I think a lot of people do. I tried to do that. I tried to attend something every day. You get overwhelmed pretty fast. But get the pulse of what people are doing and want to do. Find out who are the current doers. Make and maintain relationships with people, and then you have people to call up. Like, hey, do you want to be speaker coordinator? Hey, do you want to help with? Sound on this thing. Excuse me. The third thing that I like is to choose a unifying theme. For Liberty Forum this year, the unifying theme was Beacon of Liberty. So one of the great things about New Hampshire, in my opinion, is that we have demonstrated what is possible when you bring a whole bunch of people together who have passion and good ideas. So I wanted to showcase what successes that we have had, and part of that was choosing as this week's. I was going to take a pause. I like dogs. Do you like dogs? Barrio Uncle Blue. So I lost my thread. What was I talking about? Oh, so in previous Liberty Forums, the keynote speaker has been someone relatively well-known. Ron Paul was a big one. We've had Snowden. That is who I was trying to remember. Thank you. Edward Snowden. It's like I could see his face. Kyle Mann of Babylon Bee. Cody Wilson of Defense Distributed. This year, we wanted to choose one of our own, someone who exemplifies what activism means for someone in New Hampshire. Dennis Pratt was our speaker. And I mean, he's one of the coordinators for Porkfest. I think this is his third year, right?
Fourth.
And he has done so many things. I could do a long list. Started two clubs. Has the bus tour, the sailing. Like, the guy is as a dynamo, and showing to a crowd of people of attendees what activism can be, what it can mean, what impact it can have, is a huge deal. And last thing, number four, and I actually touched on this a minute ago, is organize events that you would want to attend. So I mentioned the Women of the Free State. My first event in 2018 was Liberty Forum. So I was amazed. I volunteered because I wanted to meet people, and I figured the best way to meet people would be to volunteer. And I was right, by the way, like just measuring by Facebook friends, which is not a really good metric, but it is like one. I don't like write down all my friends' names. I don't know. Maybe you do. I went from like 300 friends on Facebook to 800 in 1 month. So that is how many people, and sorry about hitting the mic, so how many people and how many second connections, like, you know, two degrees of separation that I met from one event. And some of those people are now now my dear friends and continue to be. In fact, it was kind of a coincidence. I met my wife at that first Liberty Forum, although she was with someone else at the time. Good guy, but they just, you know, he wasn't as good as I am. I'm kidding. He's just different.
She chose you, dude. That's all that matters.
Matters to me.
You're still friends.
Yeah, actually, I'm good friends with him. I did get a little off off track there.
He's in this room.
So
does cover rock.
Passion is infectious. If you get people around passionate people, they want to start doing the same thing. It happened to me. It can happen to you. I think one of the coolest things about the Free State is the free thinkers. We are attracting the best folks. At some point, I felt a change. I felt that we had more inside the state than we did outside, and that trend continues. We went through COVID, and I think we got a lot of people as a result of realizing you can't ignore it. Like, I think a lot of people got into a state where they thought, well, if I just keep my head down, I'll be able to live my life, and it'll just wash over me. But that's not the case. It reared its ugly head, made it unable to be ignored. So we got a lot more people, and we've seen an explosion in the attendance of Porkfest, and the mission continues. I am excited. I am excited because it feels possible. The world is possible. I went from commiserating to believing. We're doing it. We're actually doing it. We're making progress. We're making real, measurable progress. And that's what excited me. Thank you. Taking questions. Do we have a question, Mike?
Turn around.
If you want to come up. Or actually, you know what? I'll just say your question back.
I have a low loud voice.
Oh, go ahead.
Everybody will hear me. So I want to add to what you said. Your points were great. There's three additional points.
Go for it.
Number one, if you're in an organization not full of doers, form your own organization. Are you streaming?
Yeah.
So form your own organization. The next thing is be willing to be wrong. Because if you're not willing to be wrong, you're not open to hear what other people have to say. And the third thing is ask for help. Okay? That's extremely difficult, but by asking for help, by offering help or asking for help, I don't know how to say this. you honor the person you're helping, or you're honoring the person you're asking, because then they're able to help you do things. So if you're a true leader, you want to ask people to follow you.
I love those points. I would suggest an amendment to your second point, and just call it be humble, because I think that the second point was be willing to be wrong. Be willing to be wrong, and I think humility is.
Being humble is awesome, but it really needs a finer point. You have to be willing to be wrong. It doesn't mean you're wrong. It doesn't mean you admit you're wrong, but you have to tell people. I learn more people from people I disagree with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And if I don't open it up, it's not just being humble. It's being, you're reaching out and saying, hey, I'm willing to be wrong. Tell me your point.
I like those. And to the last point about asking for help, my wife was a co-coordinator with Viviana. She couldn't be here because our kids are small and they need attention. she planned on being here. She is much better about that than I am. Like, I take on too much, and I think that I'm responsible for everything, that I have to do everything. So it is, I agree, extremely important to be able to reach out. And one of the and another thing that you said also struck a chord with me personally, which was that you honor the person you ask. And one of the failings that I have, or weaknesses that I have, or things that I've been working on for the last, how old am I? All of it, is thinking that if I ask for help, that I am a burden. And I don't want to be a burden, but you're right. You're not a burden. You're actually giving someone an opportunity to do something that makes them feel good. Yeah. So I know that up here, but my heart is tone deaf, or maybe just all the way deaf. Thank you for that. What was your name?
I'm Blake.
Blake. Thank you very much. Questions or comments? Masha?
How do you advise to balance the social club aspect with something productive?
How do you balance the social club aspect with something productive? I would say that the social club aspect is, and I think I know where you're coming from on that, but I'll be more general. The social club aspect, I think, is necessary. That's part of the community and forming and maintaining bonds with people. So we do need some of that. And I think the best way to do that is have someone or a small group of people who maintain forward momentum. Like, it's okay to be a social club, but we really, like, what do we do today? What do we do this week? Sort of treat it like a job, in that not a job that's like 9 to 5, but a job meaning you have, I've been a programmer for 20 years, and we have what we call a Kanban board: to do, in progress, in review, and done. And make sure that those tasks are moving across. That's the best thing that I can say. Make sure there is someone who is essentially a project manager who is putting people on the spot and asking questions. And if it helps, make the socializing the treat that you get after you do the work. The work is, we do our status report, and if you haven't made progress, have a good reason. If you're not making progress continually, maybe you need help, but certainly have someone, maybe even generally, there's someone in every group who does like that kind of thing. And if they're not someone with a big voice, pair them with someone who does. That way you can help keep things moving. I got two. I'll go with Mike first.
So one thing that I've kind of been concerned about is scaring away doers when things kind of get out of alignment, or things are toxic, or there's like kind of signaling with like drama and stuff like that. Like, what are your thoughts about the types of choices in an organization that scares away people who might be showing up? Or do you have any ideas about that kind of whole dynamic of keeping things healthy? Like, how do you retain them if people are coming to you with the type of competence that you're seeking in your volunteers? Do you have any, like, are there things that turn those people away that you have to avoid, deliberately avoid?
To a degree, but though that is in the realm of necessary, uncomfortable conversations. And we are, this is kind of one of those things that I think is both a blessing and a curse at the same time. As libertarians, we are, there is a pretty strong component of our group that is contentious. And needs to be contentious because we are under a oppressive regime, like, all the time. So basically, our whole existence is contentious. And individuals who epitomize that, who are at the leading edge of that, can result, I mean, they can end up being difficult to us, to the rest of the organization as well. So having those difficult conversations with the people who are creating friction with others is recognizing the strengths that they have, that they offer, and trying to orient them in a better direction with their energy, helping them recognize where they are pushing people away. And in extreme cases, it may be necessary to distance yourself from people. There's been a very small number. I don't even want to name names because I don't want to call attention to them. But in fact, I won't. I'll just talk about this person without saying the name. There was someone who was a... I want to be even more generic. I don't want to even mention some words here. But he was expressing opinions that were distasteful and was eventually made pariah. And that's an extreme case, though. That happens very rarely. Usually, having some tough conversations, perhaps more than one, can help align someone or direct them into an area where that energy will be better spent. It's a continuing problem, though. I'll get back to you. I think you had your hand up at the same time as Mike. What's your name?
Justin. So it's more of a comment just about stuff. She's being productive and being social. So those are two things I've done, in a sense. It's not very hard to do something. It's a matter of really just doing it, even if you do it yourself. When I first moved here, there was not a meetup to go to a shooting range. And, you know, as a libertarian, I was pretty surprised. So I made one. It's a monthly meetup in the Seacoast in Dover. Anyone can come. And I do it, and, you know, even if one person shows up, I still go. There's no roster. I just show up and hope someone comes. Usually one person does, and we shoot for an hour. Mm-hmm. And that's just, you know, being consistent. Even if it's not, like, the most successful thing, even if it's just one person, that's still fine, because we just want to keep doing it, and more people eventually will come, and it's going to vary. But you know, I think that sense of consistency is important.
I can think for the recording, Justin mentioned if there's something not happening, do it. And the example was creating a monthly shooting thing. Another example that I know of that another person does, Rachel Goldsmith, started a crafting thing. And for quite a while, she was either there alone or with one other person, but she kept at it. And sort of in the same way, it then, like through the magic of consistency, grew into multiple people going. So you're right, that is important. If something's not happening, do it yourself and keep at it. You have to persevere.
Like the last part about being productive, I'm currently trying to get various free stairs on different podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
The most recent one, the only one I've done that I got Jason Storin's on Saifedean and Moose's podcast, which is a reasonably sized Bitcoin podcast. Talked about just the free state.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know him. I don't network with people. I'm not good at that. I happen to have pre-purchased a book of his, which gave me direct access to his email, like to him personally. So I just shot an email randomly, and he responded showing interest. I got Jason on, and when I saw Jeremy earlier today, he said he met two people that are here because they heard Jason on there.
Oh, nice.
I remember exactly what he said, but they might, he said they came because of that. They might be moving to the state too. I don't remember if he said that. He said something like that. So that is, it's just about just doing it because it didn't take effort. Like, that's the point I'm making. It's not something, you don't need like this high level of networking. You don't need to be like this like incredible person. Like, I just shot an email randomly to a guy who's not even that famous. Just to see if he was interested. Like, he's famous in a certain niche, but like, to see if he was interested in having someone from the Free State Project on his podcast, and he was.
I didn't realize you were that, Justin. I'm actually in the Signal group. Yep. Cool. Glad I got to meet you. Although, let's do this a little closer together after this. But that's excellent. And again, for the recording, like that, the networking does not have to be, I am a social butterfly and I'm able to talk to people. Justin shot an email and got Jason Sorens on a podcast. Yes, sir. What's your name first?
Jason. from Gilbert.
Hi, Gilbert.
I come from Michigan, so there's been histories of provocateurs doing stuff. how do you avoid that, or how do Free Staters sniff out that? Is it a problem? Is it apocryphal and there's nothing to worry about? Or,
how do we sniff out provocateurs?
They make themselves known.
Whatever it is, I don't know.
We have had some witch hunts where we started looking for people who didn't exist. That was actually before me. I moved to New Hampshire in 2019, and the last witch hunt that I'm aware of happened before I arrived. So it's been a while. However, it seems that there are some things that provocateurs do that we have started to get the ability to notice. It's like there's like a smell to it, hey guys, this really sucks. We should go commit violence against the governor. Like, that's not a people we want to hang with. Either they're a provocateur, or actually, and there was at least one case where maybe not quite so egregious as that, where there was a guy who was talking about things that were as much as we want to change things, we are a peaceful people. Like we want peaceful change, and so when people start talking about doing unpeaceful things, everyone around them starts to get the heebie-jeebies. And that person in particular was just drunk and talking out of his butt. But I guess one of the things that I'm aware of happening is because we are pure of heart, we tend to either notice when someone is trying to find something, trying to incite something that is not aligned with our peaceful beliefs, they don't talk the talk properly. Like the last lady that I met that I'm pretty sure was not on the up and up. Like I asked her some questions wasn't even fishing, but I asked her some basic questions because she approached me about she had a business of some kind and saw me on a Facebook group and was asking me. I happened to meet her in person and asked her some questions, and her answers didn't make sense. They were really vague. Like she had it felt to me as if she had built up a persona that was not all the way fleshed in. So I would look at it very similarly to the way that those of us who are interested in self-defense, there is a level of awareness. You cannot always be on condition red, but you can always be on condition yellow. Just notice things. And when someone does something like the woman I described, maybe she's just off her nut, but she might also be someone to be aware of. Thank you for the question. Blake?
I just want to make a comment about some of the comments that have been made. So what you said to the gentleman about people who are misbehave.
Yes.
Want to go a different direction. We all do things in our own self-interest. So my recommendation is find out what that person's self-interest is. Find out what turns them on. What do they want to do? And then guide them that direction.
Where possible, guide them in that direction. Just to sum up for the mic.
That direction is outside.
Sometimes that direction is outside. Thanks. What's your name, sir?
I'm David.
Hi, David. What's up?
So, I guess over the years I've learned when you're leading, let me introduce myself a little better. I'm David Wilson. We're setting up the Darker Prickle Clubhouse in Darker.
Oh, I finally get to meet you.
We're running a bunch of game nights and everything. But what I've learned over the years, when you're dealing with volunteer groups, is you guys are hitting it right on the head. First of all, say yes to any good idea and support them in that idea. Like anybody who has a good idea, the correct answer as a leader is, yes, what a great idea. How can I help you make that happen? Right? Don't take it away from them, but help them take ownership of it. Because I think this is how you really get people involved as volunteers. The problem with volunteers is sometimes you feel like you're herding cats trying to get people to do things. I can certainly tell you some of ForkFest feels like herding cats.
Yes.
Being a good team has been quite eye-opening from that standpoint. But even still, just being an enabler is huge and gets so many more people involved. So I think that's one of the big keys.
Totally agree.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm going to add to that what Blake said. People act in their own self-interest. People are not being difficult because they are difficult. They're being difficult because they have strong feelings in a direction that is possibly different or miscommunicated between people managing and themselves. And that's a good point.
But they might just be one degree off.
Yeah. Yeah.
They need leadership to bring them back.
And sometimes we just have to disagree.
We all need to be consistent in how we present ourselves, too. You know, right? So I hear a lot of people spouting words about, you know, they're not the right group or this is the wrong thing. It's like this, the wrong approach to being an open and inviting community. You can't be pushing certain people away because you don't like them.
Yeah, there's
if you
a
don't like what they're doing, that's fine. You don't have to associate with them. But that doesn't make them a lesser person.
And that's even true of people that we philosophically disagree with.
I completely agree.
Yeah, it's people who aren't libertarians, generally speaking, are not evil. They just have bad ideas.
Oh, some are.
Some are.
Some libertarians are also evil.
Also true. Mike, you had something else?
Yes. So
thank you, by the way.
I want to follow up with that and say yes and. Because
nice.
I have this idea of a lot of times I see someone has an idea and the first thing out of everyone's mouth is how it could go wrong, it won't work, blah, blah, blah. And I hate this. Mm-hmm. When you could just say, oh, yeah, great idea. How about we do it this way or add this thing or I know so-and-so can do. So rather than, you know, there can become this negativity bias groupthink phenomena that can really stifle and kill groups, organizations, so forth. So I love that. Just wanted to add that yes and idea.
I think that's a great point, and I'll also point out that works in every aspect of your life. in fact, I would start with your personal relationship, your friendships, and your romantic relationship. That is the most important place to be using that because that creates a much greater degree of success. Good point. Thank you, Mike. Is it Mike or Michael?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Nice. And Rowan.
All together now. Any other questions, suggestions, points, or problems?
I want to say one thing.
Yes, sir.
This is my second time at Park Fest.
How do you like it?
I was here in 2017. It's been 6 years. I'm flabbergasted.
It's a bit different.
And I won't talk about approval voting, but I will. For just a second. The first year I was here, Liberty Forum came to me and said, how do I do an approval voting straw poll?
Mm-hmm.
And I helped them set it up. So I have very strong feelings towards, good feelings towards Liberty Forum as well.
Excellent. Thank you. I'm glad to hear that. I learned recently that Rachel Goldsmith's first event was also a Liberty Forum, and it will always have a place in my heart now. Approval voting is awesome.
I'm at 84 RB 84. Come down, take some literature, talk to me if I'm there.
Okay. Good.
Anybody.
If there are no more questions, if there are, like, speak up. It's okay. I am not frightening until I stand up.
You're very scary. The things you said, oh my God.
Oh, I believe people can govern themselves. I'm a terrible person. All right, thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you.